Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospels. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and we're glad you've joined us today. If you have a Bible question or a personal issue you'd like to talk about, don't hesitate, friends. Go ahead and call now. 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and Canada, Sean. 844-322-2742. Call now, friends, because it's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Love that it's Friday and that we get to share this time together and that we get to share this time together with you, our listeners. Thank you for letting us be a part of your lives, and we're so grateful that you're a part of ours, yeah. And we certainly invite you to join the conversation today. Again, that number, 844-322-2742. Maybe you want to know some, have some clarification on a particular Bible passage. Maybe there's a problem situation that you're going through right now and need some guidance. Would love to know the wisdom of God, how it applies in your situation. So now's the time. Yep. If that's the boat that you're in right now, go ahead and pick up that phone and call 844-322-2742. Bob, you and I have been involved in a lot of small group Bible studies through the years, and I've done a lot of Bible studies for men's groups, small groups and large groups. And I've always asked a question in those groups: if you could have anything in life, what would it be? Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's various questions, but when it really comes down to kind of important matters, most men will say, I would just like a little peace. I would like some peace in my life. Well, just the fact that that's what they're searching for tells you that in this world, peace is elusive. You can go and search for it. You can try to find it, but you're not going to find it really out there in the world. You might have some moments where you feel a little peaceful because you're away from the rat race. You might be next to a beautiful lake or something like that, but deep down, you're still not at peace. You're restless inside. Well, the kind of peace they're looking for, God is the only one that can give that. Yeah. God is the only one that can provide that peace. That's why he's called the author of peace. And Paul writes about that in Romans chapter 5. He says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So peace with God is going to come as the result of being justified by faith, being declared righteous as God's free gift to you. Now, this peace of God, I love this word because it means a tranquility arising from reconciliation and a sense of divine favor. It also means this: the tranquil state of the soul assured of salvation. Yeah. I love that definition. And let me say it again: the tranquil state of a soul assured of salvation. Well, when you've been justified by faith and you know what that means, then you're at peace with God. You know that your sin has been dealt with once for all by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. You know that you have been given God's righteousness. You have been made righteous through faith. And when you know you're right in God's sight, that's that sense of divine favor, then your soul can rest. Your soul can be at peace. Your soul isn't trying to work. Your soul isn't trying to gain God's favor. Your soul isn't on this quest. It's found what it's searching for through faith in Jesus Christ. Well, he goes on to explain exactly what this means. Down in verse 6, he says, for while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. That's why we're restless, because we know deep inside there's something wrong. There's something missing. There's something just not right. Yeah,
right.
And the Word of God calls it being ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So that cross 2,000 years ago was a very tangible expression of the love of God. That was a demonstration of God's love for mankind. And specifically, that was a demonstration of God's love for you individually. Mm-hmm. that God sent Jesus to die for your sins, to stand in your place, to take the punishment that you deserved so that you could be set free to experience peace with God. So he says this, since therefore we have now been justified by his blood. So it's this life of Jesus that justifies us, that declares us to be righteous. It's a gift of God. It's not something that we could earn through our obedience or through human effort. This is the gift of God. So he says, since we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. Mm-hmm. So there is a time of judgment that is coming at the end of the age, and we will all stand before the Lord at that particular time, and there's going to be a judgment that's made for those who have received Christ. The judgment is eternal life. Yeah. For those who have rejected Christ, the judgment is eternal death. It's very simple. It's very clear. Life is found in Jesus. It's not found outside of Jesus. That's why people are desperately searching. People are desperately seeking. They're looking for something. They're looking for life. Well, it's only found in Jesus. So when you turn to Jesus, you're justified, you're made alive, and the eternal judgment is eternal life. And then in verse 10, he says this, for if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. God did something on our behalf even when we were at odds with him, mm-hmm. even when we were not on the same page with him. God still loved us and still acted on our behalf. So since we've been reconciled to God by the death of Jesus, much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life.
Yes.
It's the resurrected life of Jesus that saves us. That is the gospel. Christ died to take away our sins, to remove all the barriers, the obstacles that stood between us and God. He got rid of all of those things. And now, because of the shed blood, that love that he demonstrated draws us near to God. And when we look to him by faith, we are saved by the life of Jesus.
Yeah.
We who were dead in trespasses and sins are now alive in Jesus Christ. That is the gospel. That is the basic, simple gospel of Jesus Christ. It is a message that contains power,
yeah.
The power of God to save, the power of God to take us who are dead and make us alive together with Christ. So when we've been made alive together with Christ, when we've been justified, then our souls can be at rest. We can truly experience that thing that we want so desperately, peace in our hearts.
That is good news, Bob, and thank you for sharing those thoughts. Friends, thank you for being with us for this edition of Basic Gospel. We'd like for you to come in and be a part of it live, as a matter of fact. You can come right into the studio and speak directly with us at 844-322-2742 in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. And, Bob, we're going to get right to it here. I wanted to pose this question from our young friend Jack. He says, why is the Christian God male? Shouldn't there be a harmony in God, and therefore God would be expressed in both masculine and feminine?
Well, we see that in creation. God made us in his image. He made us male and female. So males reflect the goodness and glory of God out in the world. Females reflect the goodness and glory of God out there in the world. And when male and female come together as one in marriage, then that union can reflect the goodness and glory of God. But we have to recognize that the Word of God is very clear. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. But we as human beings, it's hard for us to understand. It's hard for us to understand spirit. I mean, it's not something that we can see. It's not something that we can fully grasp and understand. So God has given us a way to understand him through our language. It's anthropomorphic language. We're attributing human attributes to a spirit being, an infinite being, an all-powerful being. Well, those aren't human attributes, but we are attaching things like Father or He or these sort of things, and that helps us understand God. Yeah. But one of the ways that He has explained Himself is that He is our Heavenly Father. We have the Spirit of God that comes to live inside of us, and by that Spirit we cry out, Abba, Father. So we know God as our Father, as the great provider, as the great protector. And God has chosen to reveal Himself in those terms. And if that's the way God has chosen to reveal Himself, then we should accept that and be grateful for it, because it has a purpose and a benefit for us. We don't want to bend God to our culture. We don't want to bend God to the way we think or our perception of things. We want to let the way God reveals Himself to us be the way that we understand Him, because when we understand Him the way He reveals Himself to us, then that is going to set us free. That is going to be of benefit to us. We don't want to worship a God of our imagination. Sure. We want to worship God for who He really is, God as He has revealed Himself in the person and work of Jesus Christ.
Jack, hope you're listening. Hope that's a help to you. If you have further questions, of course, reach out. Again, 844-322-2742. You can also submit a question by sending an email to bob@basicgospel.net. Any way you contact us is a great way, and we'd love to hear from you. But again, the phone number right now, 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to our phone lines to Taylor, Texas, and talk with Harold. Hi, Harold.
Hi, Bob. How are y'all?
Doing okay. How are you, my friend?
Just enjoying this beautiful weather today. It's just really beautiful out there.
Well, yes, it is. What's on your mind?
Well, you know, I share the gospel, and every once in a while, my Christian brothers and sisters ask me about, you know, God's going to provide food and covering. And so I struggle with that answer because, you know, there's a lot of folks, you know, around the world that, you know, starving. And so I wish if y'all could give me some clarification on that, I'd appreciate it.
Well, Harold, that is a good question. And that's one of the things that is brought up when the goodness of God is being talked about. If God is so good, why is there evil in the world? Why are there people homeless? Why are there people starving? Why are there people who just are struggling just to survive? Why is that happening? And it's happening because of sin that is in this world. You know, there have been starvation and things going on, for example, in Africa and some other parts of the world, and the world has recognized the need and has just been generous in helping to provide, you know, food substances to meet those hunger needs. And they'll gather this up and try to ship it, and then a corrupt government robs the food from the people and holds it hostage and tries to make a dime off of it for their own benefit, to pad their own pockets. So there's this enormous spirit of generosity that is in this world, and that spirit of generosity, that's what God is all about. God so loved that He gave. So we see the body of Christ. We see individual Christians all over this world responding to the giving nature of God. And they're saying, hey, we want to participate. We want to give. And so they're giving generously. And a lot of times that generosity does not get to the people it needs to get to because of the corrupt nature of this world that we live in. But I think for us as believers in Christ, we can look at our lives up to this very moment. We can look in the past and we can see the hand of God providing for us every step of the way. I know in my own life, I haven't missed a meal. I've had food and shelter and clothing and those sort of things. And I know that's from the hand of God. I know when I was growing up, we didn't have a lot of money, but we were always provided for. I know early on in our marriage, Gina and I, we certainly didn't have a lot of money, but we were always provided for, always taken care of. Well, God has said that he's going to meet our needs according to his riches and glory. And I think when we look back on our lives, we can say, yes, that's exactly right. Yes, God has met my needs in accordance with the riches of his glory, so or the riches of his grace. So I think we individually as believers can say, yes, that's true. And then I think we can look and say, hey, you know, if this world didn't have the corruption that was in it, that the generosity and the amount of food that this world produces day in, day out, week in, week out, year in, year out, is an ample supply that nobody should be hungry.
Truly.
And we just, there's one day this world is going to be freed of all of its corruption, and that answer will be very clear that we will see the hand of God in all of it.
That is so clear. Y'all are my go-to guys. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Harold. Thanks for your call. Great question, my friend.
And thanks for the encouragement.
Yes.
Oh, you bet. Thank you very much.
It is Basic Gospel. Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis. And again, like Harold did, he called in on the line, and we want you to call in on the line and be a part of this edition at 844-322-2742. You know, friends, it's a resource that is rich in video resources covering just about every subject imaginable that have to do with the Christian life. And I refer, of course, to the Basic Gospel YouTube channel, where Bob Christopher has posted close to 100 insight-filled videos, including his latest posting, What Must I Do to Please God? Now, you can find subjects like the believer in confession, maintaining fellowship with God, was Jesus really raised from the dead, can it be too late ever to be saved, and about 90 other videos, as a matter of fact. It's all posted at basicgospel.net/YouTube, and don't forget to tell a friend about it. It's free online video treasure trove, absolutely a treasure trove of wonderful resources by video. And again, you can find it all at basicgospel.net/YouTube. It is Basic Gospel, everybody. Thanks for being with us. And we had this question that came in from a lady named Charlene. She says, Jesus is my Lord and Savior, and I cannot thank God enough for never leaving my side throughout life. I am a 59-year-old woman, she says, who knows that God is as real as I know the earth is a sphere. I felt his presence all around me when I was a child, especially in times of pain. It took me until my 50s, when my father passed away, that I knew in my heart just how real Jesus is, and that he can be, or could be, my Lord of the Lord of my life, and I know the Holy Spirit is working to change my heart. I feel like the whole purpose of my life is to worship him. I feel complete now, like I know, now I know why I am here on the earth. Is there anything, she says, Emma, that I'm missing?
No.
Okay, next question.
Well, there's a couple of things in here that I want us to all be aware of. And, she writes that I know the Holy Spirit is working to change my heart. And I want us to realize that when we come to Christ, we are given a new heart. And so we're made new at the very core of who we are. We were dead. We lived in unbelief. And now we're alive and we live in belief. We have hearts of belief. We believe, we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the new heart. So that's been made new. That's been made complete. Now, what happens after that is that our minds and our attitudes and those sort of things begin a renewing process. So it's our minds that need to be changed. It's our minds that need to be aligned to the truth of who we now are in Jesus Christ. So your heart is a new heart.
Yeah.
It is a transformed heart. It is a believing heart. And so recognize that and rejoice in that, and then recognize it's the Spirit of God that is going to start renewing the mind so that your thinking can line up with what's taken place through this new creation, through this new birth that comes from God. So you say you feel like your whole purpose is to worship Him. I love what Paul said about that in Romans 12. Don't be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, which is your reasonable act of worship or service. And so we're making ourselves available to God to use us to reflect His goodness and glory through us out there in the world. That's what our purpose is, and that all stems from this idea of worship, keeping your eyes focused on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith.
Yeah, thank you for that insight, Bob. And here's a question from Samuel we don't get often. As a matter of fact, it may be the first time. It says, my question has to do with appreciation. Lately, I found myself nearly bankrupt at communicating appreciation to others as often I should. In our relationships, how do we maintain and communicate an attitude of appreciation toward one another and not be so distracted as to miss the opportunity to let one another know that we truly appreciate them? I think the answer is by grace through faith, but I'd like your thoughts on the subject.
Well, Samuel, that's a great question, and appreciation is much needed in this world today. We don't see it enough out there. But like you said, the answer is by grace through faith. And what we see happening when we are growing in our knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, when we're growing in grace, growing in our understanding of grace, then our hearts respond to that with an attitude of thanksgiving. I've said time and time and time again that thankfulness is really an expression of our faith in Jesus Christ. First, thankfulness to Him, and as we are thankful for all that He has provided for us in Christ, thankful for the fact that our sins have been forgiven, thankful for the fact, the truth that He has given us His righteousness, thankful for the fact that He has made us holy and blameless in His sight, thankful for the fact that He's made us alive. As our hearts respond to Him with that attitude of thankfulness, we're going to find ourselves being more appreciative of the people around us. And I think it's going to be a natural outflow. We're going to be thankful for the relationships that God has put us into, and we're going to see the benefit of those, just the joy of being in relationship, mm-hmm. and what they bring to the table for us. So let your heart grow thankful for all that Christ has done for you through His death, burial, and resurrection. And I think you will soon see that thankfulness, that gratefulness, that appreciation flowing out into the relationships you have with others here on planet Earth.
Indeed. Well, Bob, thank you for that excellent insight as well, and for answering all these questions in a beautiful way. And thanks to everyone who contacts us with a question or a counseling need. We love hearing from you, our listeners, and hope you will always reach out to us as you have an issue or a question. Well, now for all of you listening, before tomorrow's broadcast, actually Monday's broadcast, if you have a question about the Christian life or need input for an issue you may be facing, give us a call at 844-322-2742. Of course, we'll discuss it here on the Basic Gospel program. Again, that's 844-322-2742, and we would love to hear from you as we continue on Monday with the broadcast called Basic Gospel. Well, that's it for another week here at Basic Gospel, everybody. If you don't have a regular church service, we invite you to join Bob Christopher for Sunday Morning Live, online only, at 9:30 Central Time every Sunday morning. Link to Facebook or YouTube at the top of our homepage. That's basicgospel.net. And join Bob, 9:30 Central, for Sunday Morning Live. He would love for you to join him. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again on Monday for another edition of Basic Gospel, and wishing you all a great and wonderful weekend in and because of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. We'll see you Monday. Bye-bye.